This is the Action Movie Guys Podcast, bringing you action movie reviews from across the decades, plus box office numbers and insight like never before. And now, your hosts of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, Alex and Nate.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to episode 40 of the Action Movie Guys Podcast. I'm your host, Nate, and that's my co-host.
I'm Outlaw Al.
Outlaw Al? So, we are going to be talking about some, guess what? We're doing Westerns this month. A couple months ago, we did female-led action movies. Last month, we did movies with black leads for Black History Month. This month, we're doing Westerns. So, today, we have a very special movie, The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly. One of the most iconic Westerns of all time. First time watching for me, so I'm very interested to talk about it with you, Alex. But before we even get into any of that, first, gotta let you know, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher, please make sure you subscribe, make sure you leave us a rating, give us a review, give us a comment, let us know how we're doing and if you're enjoying the show. If you're watching it on YouTube, make sure you're subscribed to the channel, leave us a comment down below with your scores. We're gonna give you our criteria. Give us your scores for this movie. Let us know if you love it. Let us know if you hate it. Let us know what you think about it. And of course, please subscribe to the channel, tell your friends, share it. Now, let's give you the criteria. Then we're going to get to some box office, some Rotten Tomato scores, and then we're going to give you our scores. So our criteria, of course, lead character, main villain, action scenes, storyline, overall, and then total points out of 25. We're going to give you all those. And then, we'll just let you know if we like the movie or not. Now, box office, Alex, you know what? I know I'm going to guess, but guess what? This movie's real old. It came out in the 60s.
66.
I have no idea. Yeah, I have no idea how box office worked back then. So this is literally going to be a shot in the dark. 1966, you said?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Okay, I'm going to say, gosh darn, how much would a movie have made in 1966? I'm going to say $23 million. I'm going to say $23 million, and that's my guess. I feel like that's a lot in 1966.
All right, so here we go. This is the box office numbers for The Good, The Bad, The Ugly from 1966. Mm-hmm. Is Nate right? Well, domestically came out to $25,100,000. International, $153,751. Worldwide total of $25,253,751 on a budget of $1.2 million.
Oh, goodness gracious. So it made 25 times pretty much what it cost.
Yeah.
That's a big hit. When you only spend $1 million and you make 25, guess what? Big hit. So I was close. I said 23, made 25. So this is a very good success. Now, here's where you're gonna guess critic scores and audience scores, Rotten Tomatoes. How do you think this movie fared with the people?
I'm going to give a critic score 92.
Okay.
Audience score 87.
87. All right. So I was very close with the box office, and you were pretty close with your critic score. You were in the ballpark. You were in the game there. So you said 92. This has a 97% on Rotten Tomatoes. Very overwhelmingly positive. So you were close. With the audience, guess what? 97. So this is one of those rare times where they line up exactly right. It seems like everyone likes this movie.
Yeah.
So, but it doesn't matter if everyone likes it, because the only people who matter on this show is myself and Alex, or whatever, Outlaw Al, whatever you call himself. So our opinions are the only ones that matter on this show, and we're going to give them to you. Now, so I'm excited to talk about this. I love reviewing movies that I've never seen. So
yeah.
This is very exciting, but it's not my turn. You go first. Lead character, please take it away.
So Clint Eastwood is the main dude in this movie. Now, in the movie, he has no name. That's why the whole trilogy is called Man with No Name trilogy, you know? He has no name.
They call him Blondie.
Yeah, they call him Blondie from Tuco, the bad dude. They call him Blondie. Yeah. I liked his character. Very mysterious. You don't know much. He was like a, how do you call it? Like he was a good guy, but not like a good guy. He's like a mix between good and bad. Like he hustles. He's like a hustler. When he like ripping people off, he sends in Tuco for a bounty, and then he releases him. He collects the dough. So it's like this whole Ponzi scheme that he's running here. I liked him a lot. I give it a 5. I think Clint Eastwood is a very good. I mean, he's in. I think out of all the, like, besides what's his name, the other Western dude,
John Wayne.
Yeah, John Wayne. I think he's the most iconic Western face. Is Clint Eastwood? Yeah.
Yeah, you're right about that. Okay, so a 5. So I was a little torn on this one. I did a lot of thinking after I watched it, but so he is the lead. We're gonna score him. But Tuco is almost as much of the lead in this movie as Blondie is.
Yeah.
Like, they are pretty much both have a lot of scenes, yeah, and they both have their own, like, little side storylines. Like, there's parts where Clint Eastwood's character is doing stuff, and there's parts where Tuco's doing stuff, and they're not together. You know what I mean? So for Clint Eastwood, he is a man of not a lot of words. He talks, obviously, but he's not that kind of character who's constantly running his mouth or anything like that. Very steely gaze. You know what I mean? You're absolutely right. He is, like, when you think of Westerns, it's probably John Wayne or Clint Eastwood that pops into your head, yeah, as far as a visual image. He looks the part, you know, he has that look. He had that, the nice 5 o'clock shadow. You know, Clint Eastwood, say what you want. Now he's 1,000 years old. He was a stud back in the day, you know, good looking guy, good look, good build, tall. Tuco's amazing. I love Tuco in this movie. I do. Yeah. They're both, everyone in this movie is bad. Okay. I know it's called The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, but technically they're all bad guys. He's just the least bad, Clint Eastwood. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
He's an outlaw, but he has some morality and he has some character, you know, he has some compass. Whereas Tuco's a little more out there. Right? He's willing to just screw over anybody at any time, but he's likable because he's kind of like goofy. And then, of course, Angel Eyes, he's like the villain. He's just bad. So I'm going to give him a 4. And the only reason I'm giving him a 4 is because you don't get a ton of, like, character development per se. And also, I feel like he shared the lead with Tuco. But combined, I'd give him a 5. But just for him, I'm going to give him a 4.
I mean, look, you're right on this, though. They all have center parts of the movie. Right. What's it? Lee Van Cleef, the guy from Escape from New York. He's another big actor from the spaghetti western too.
Yeah.
Lee Van Cleef. So again, you're right. This is a movie that's going to be really hard for us to score because you got 3 main leads, whether they're villains, yeah, or heroes. So that's the thing about westerns. It's really hard because you don't have a true villain in especially this, mm-hmm, movie. It's really hard to say who's really the true villain.
Right.
But go ahead.
We're scoring these based off of what the movie told us.
Yeah.
You know, like, this, yeah, guy's the good, this guy's the bad, and Tuco's just ugly. main villain. This is Lee Van Cleef, mm-hmm, and he is Angel Eyes, or what's his real name? Like Satenza or something like that. I don't, yeah, know. Either way, man, he's really good. He's really good in this movie. I especially love him in that first act. You know, like, this guy shows up at this dude's house, and you know, this dude is bad. Like, he's bad. Do not mess with him. He looks bad. He talks bad. But also, he seems like he's going to be nice to the guy. You know what I mean? But then he's not. Awesome. I love him in the beginning. I love when he goes to the guy who hired him in the first place. And the other guy pays him, so he puts a pillow on his head and blasts him. Awesome. Like, he's very bad. My only issue is he then goes away for like an hour before he even, yeah, shows back up again. You know what I mean? This is, I feel like, for both the lead and the villain, there's little tweaks here and there. Could have got them both 5 for me. For me, I'm going to give him a 4 again. If he had more screen time, probably a 5. But as much as he's in it, he's imposing. He's an imposing figure. You could tell he's bad. I liked him. I liked the way he talked. I liked the way he looked. He's a great bad guy. I just wish we had a little more screen time. Probably a 5 for me. But for me, a 4.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's so hard because, like, Tuco, to me, was, like, the bad guy. But you're right. I mean, he's teams up with, you know, Clint Eastwood to, yeah, do certain things. And then, we could go with the Lee Van Cleef.
Oh, you scored Tuco? No,
No, it's fine.
He is very bad in this.
No, he is. Lee Van Cleef's character, Angel Eyes, he's really good. I think I prefer Lee Van Cleef in a few dollars more. Or less.
Okay.
The one that comes, yeah, there's 3 of this. two more movies.
For a few dollars more, I think, is the one he's in.
Yeah, that one is my favorite out of the three. Okay. This one is a classic. Don't get me wrong. A Few Dollars More is my joint. But in terms of villain, I agree with you. Because I feel like this is something that you would do. Go to someone's house and then sit down and eat their food before you like you yell at them. Because I was like, this is something they would do. Yeah, it was just like, and he didn't even say nothing. He just sit down and he just grabbed the dude's soup. Like he just ate the dude's soup
and he cut his bread with that big knife. I'm like, oh my
yeah. God. And then he just there's kept looking at him. And I'm like, this scene is intense because you don't know who's going to pick up the gun and shoot first, you know?
Right.
That was good. I liked that. I liked when he was the colonel in the army and them two got caught. And then he's like torturing them for like $25,000. Back then, it's like a lot of money. But
yeah,
I agree. I gave it a four. I gave him a four. Yeah, he was good.
Nice.
Angel Eyes.
Okay, action scenes, because this is an action podcast, so we have to score it. Action scenes.
Terms of action, it wasn't that much action when you see like in a Western movie, so it's not like as much. But when there is, it is. It's not like Rambo, they shooting 100 bullets to hit and exploding. Like this was actually a true Western storyline based of a film. But where they're shooting, it was meant to be shooting. So I gave it a four. I thought the shooting scenes were in the best parts of the movies. Like it was just, you know what I mean? Like it was in the central part of the storytelling. Like they didn't need 100 gunfights to tell a story. So I gave it a four.
Okay. That's fair. That's fair. I felt a little more, I gave it a three. But just more like what you said at first. This is a story-driven film. It's not an action-driven film.
Yeah.
So I did like the Civil War scenes when they're in the Civil War and they're like they're fighting, and I love it because it's like old Hollywood. Even though this is an Italian production, you know, it's a spaghetti Western, so it's an Italian production. They filmed it in Spain, all this kind of stuff. It's not a Hollywood movie, but it's done in the Hollywood style where there's like a lot of extras. You know, there's no CGI back then, so they had to hire 300 people to run around this field and shoot and do cannons, and they blow up the bridge. Like they literally like blew that thing up. That was awesome. You know, back then when stuff blew up, it blew up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's always cool. I do like that. So, but there's a couple of shootings here and there. And then there's this like Civil War scene that's pretty big. It's well shot. And then you have the standoff at the end, which is, you know, kind of iconic. So I'm going to give it a three, but you know, we're about to get to the real meat in a second, but I'm going to give the action a three.
Okay.
So moving on to story. So here's where this movie is so freaking good. Look, I don't know how I went all this my whole life without ever having seen this movie, but goodness gracious, the storyline is so good. You got three guys, right?
Mm-hmm.
The good, the bad, and the ugly. Tuco. And the Tuco. So look, it's simple. They're all pretty bad. Some worse than others. Tuco and Blondie, they have the scheme where he keeps getting captured. They collect the bounty, and right before they hang him, Clint Eastwood saves him. They ride off to the next town, collect the bounty. So that's like their scheme. They're schemers, you know.
Yeah.
They do. That's their crime. And then you got Angel Eyes, who's like this bounty hunter guy who's just trying to get going on. He's trying to find this. You find out he's trying to find this gold that these people know about. It's buried in the cemetery, and he wants the gold. As the movie progresses, the other two characters find out about the gold as well. Incidentally, like they happen upon this road and this guy happens to say this name and they happen to get this information. And then you know they're on a collision course, right, for this gold. So the movie takes its time telling the story. It's a long movie. It's about 2 hours and 40 minutes.
Yeah, it's a long movie.
It takes its time telling the story, but the characters are interesting. It's extremely, that's an overall, so I'll leave that. But the storyline is great. It's great. It's simple, easy to follow, but very effective and very well told. I'm going to give it a five. I got no issues with the storyline in this movie.
You know, I mean, you said everything. In terms of story, the thing I would add to your masterpiece of a review is the heartfelt when they were beating on the guy, on Tuco, you saw the dude crying and they stopped playing the music. It was very emotional, that scene. Very, very, very emotional. I thought that was a very well shot scene out while they were playing the music in the Civil War. I thought that was really good. Everything you said is, I mean, this right on point. This movie is very story driven, not action galore. I mean, if you're one of those that are waiting for, there's not. I mean, this is just straight dialogue. Yeah, this is just straight dialogue. Yeah. So this is not like the other sequels where they added more action to the story. But with that said, I agree. I gave it a 5. It's a great storyline. Yeah, it's a fantastic story.
Right on. All right. So overall,
Overall, it's a fantastic piece of history. In terms of Western. And again, it boils down, what is your favorite style of Western you like to enjoy watching? Are you one of those that want to do straight Westerns? Like, hey, I want to see, you know, them shooting Indians and straight gunfight, you versus me, like Quick and the Dead. Very Western, but that's more of a standoff between me and you, a tournament. So you got those type of Westerns. Then you got the Magnificent Sevens type of storyline. Action, but there's a goal towards the story, but it's a group of seven different outlaws meeting up for the first time to do like a mission or something, you know? But then you got this one that's just straight story driven with the star power of Clint Eastwood and then Lee Van Cleef, another big star at the time, and then the guy who plays Tuco. So they were all amazing.
Eli Wallach.
Wallach. Yeah. So honestly, dude, overall for the entire film, I'm giving it a 5. It's a great film.
You know what?
Perfect.
I don't disagree with anything you said. And there's a couple other things that I want to add. So number one, this is exactly what you said. You have different styles of Westerns, right? And then this makes me more interested to kind of dig into these, because you got this as a spaghetti Western, right? You got these spaghetti Westerns. They're Italian. These Italian directors, you know, Sergio Leone. And then you have like the American style Western, the John Waynes, the kind of Hollywood Western. And then you have the Japanese. Essentially, those samurai movies are Westerns, right?
Yeah,
they're the Japanese Westerns. You have like Yojimbo, Sanjuro. Those movies are pretty much a fistful of dollars and a few dollars more in Japanese. They're the same. They're like remakes. The Magnificent Seven is just like the Seven Samurai. So you have these, and now I want to watch all of them because they're super interesting, very character driven. Couple other things that this movie has, though. One, it looks gorgeous. So I cannot wait for that 4K to come out because the Blu-ray looks really good. It really does. But those landscapes, it's extremely well shot. For $1 million, this movie looks like $50 million. I'm not even going to lie. It looks amazing. It's extremely well shot. It's extremely well acted. And one of the best things about it, the score by Ennio Morricone, is so freaking good. I'm a score nerd. I love movie music. It is incredible. I did not know, because I had never seen this, I did not know that the stupid Modelo Especial commercials with all the UFC fighters is the music from this movie. I had no idea. I was like, what the heck? Why is this? I know this song from a commercial and it's in this movie. So that part I loved. It comes towards the end when they're at the graveyard. And then you have like the more iconic, that whole score, you know, it's so good. Oh my God, I loved it. So the music is great. The production values are great. The star power is great. The storyline's great. And even though we had to take points off for things that we score on, the film is perfection as far as what it, you know, within its genre. I also gave it a 5 out of 5. I didn't, you know, I scored the lead in that way because they shared it. I shared the villain, you know, because he's off screen, but it's not an action movie. There's a little bit of action, but it doesn't matter. It's still a perfect movie for what it is. So 5 out of 5 for me as well. So total points for me, that comes out to a 21 out of a 25. I gave it a 4, a 4, a 3, a 5, and a 5. Alex, what's your score?
It's a 23 out of a 25.
23.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
right on. I mean, it's a great movie.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, the first of all, the score is like one of the, I think to me, is one of the most iconic Western albums or music ever put on screen. And I want to know, when the 4K comes out, is the score going to be redone for the movie? Because you know how they do sometimes, they go back and they redo it to clean it up and make it sound better. Remaster it.
Yeah.
Like, is it going to be remastered also with the actual film? Because that would be fantastic to just listen to it again, remastered.
It's really good. It's really good, and it's iconic. You know what I mean? Like, I have never seen this movie, and I knew that other part of the score. You know what I mean? So it's one of those movies where, like, you may not have seen it, but you know things about it or from it, which is cool. I haven't seen any of the Man with No Name movies, so I do own the other two. I'm looking forward to going back, like I said, and watching them. But we're not covering any more of those here. But
I think personally, I think you are gonna enjoy the one that the one that I like, the one with Lee Van Cleef comes back. He joins forces with Clint Eastwood. I'm not gonna tell you why, but they join forces. Okay. He's a new character. He's not the same. He's not Angel Eyes.
Yeah,
he's a brand
new. In all
new
of them, they're playing, and Clint Eastwood's playing a different character in each one. Even though it's the Man with No Name trilogy, he's not the same exact character in each one, but he's playing a similar role. You know, he's just a Western guy with nobody knows, no real history. It's a mystery. I didn't mean to rhyme. But,
that was rhyming right there. I didn't know you planned it or not.
I'm looking forward to seeing those other ones and seeing a lot of other Westerns. But next week, we got, on top of Rambo, the fourth Rambo film, we're also going to be reviewing True Grit. Now, the remake of True Grit, starring Jeff Bridges, Haley Steinfeld, Matt Damon. I have not seen this since the theater. I think I saw it at the theater. And then I bought it and I never watched it again. So I'm looking forward to seeing it. Coen Brothers film. That's the one we're going to be checking out next week.
Yeah, if you want to follow us on our social media platforms, follow Nate over on Instagram at Nateflix Reviews. Check out his podcast with him and his friends at Nateflix Movie Reviews over on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, anywhere you listen your podcasts on. Levels of Geeks, you can follow us on every social media platform, Twitter, Twitch, Instagram, YouTube, Levels of Geeks across the board. Check out the website, levelsofgeeks.com. We have all our content, movie reviews, 4K disc reviews, all nice and organized for you guys. Merch there also. Other than that, that's your host, Nate. I'm your host, Alex Figueroa. Be awesome to each other and geek out.